welcome on to NBA Recap. Today is Wednesday, March 9th, and we had six games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Charlotte, the Nets defeated the Hornets 132-121. In Indiana, the Cavaliers just edged past the Pacers 127-124. In Orlando, the Suns beat the Magic 102-99. In Memphis, the Grizzlies beat the Pelicans 132-111. In Oklahoma City, the Bucks demolished the Thunder 142-115. And finally, in San Francisco, the Warriors easily beat the Clippers 112-97. So we will break down all six of those games in just a moment, but first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. Alright, so starting off today in Charlotte, where the Hornets were defeated by the Brooklyn Nets, 132-121. The Nets were led by Kyrie Irving, his season high by far, 50 points on an incredible 15 of 19 shooting. That is fantastic offense from Irving. He had 9 three-pointers, he was 11 of 13 from the free throw line. And then they also got 20 points and 14 rebounds from Andre Drummond, and 14 points from Bruce Brown and Kevin Durant. Whereas the Hornets were led by Terry Rozier, he has been on a tear recently. He had 30 points in this game, and he was really hot as well, 10 of 19 from the field. He had 5 threes. And then they also got 30 points from Miles Bridges. He was also very efficient, 11 of 19 from the field, and then 24 for the sophomore LaMelo Ball. And if you just looked at the scoreline, you wouldn't think that this was necessarily a blowout, but the Nets were in firm control of this game throughout the majority of regulation. They had gotten out to a hot start, outscoring the Hornets 34-20 in the first quarter, so it was already a double-digit lead heading into the second quarter. And then they kept up that pressure, outscoring the Hornets 35-23 in the second, so it was a huge lead for Brooklyn at the half, over a 20-point lead. 26, in fact, at the half. So it looked like the Nets were going to cruise to an easy victory in Charlotte, but that was not the case. The Hornets came storming back. In the third quarter, they outscored the Nets by 10, 41-31, and then they kept the pressure on in the fourth as well. They outscored the Nets 37-32. So while they didn't complete the comeback, they definitely made things a lot more interesting down the stretch. The shooting just simply wasn't good enough for Charlotte. They were 48% from the field, 31% from three, whereas the Nets were 56% from the field, 51% from three. That is absurd shooting for Brooklyn, thanks in large part to Kyrie Irving's incredible line, 15 of 19 from the field, 9 of 12 from three. And both teams were pretty sloppy with the ball. Brooklyn had 16 turnovers, whereas the Hornets had 15, so it was really just that three-point shooting that killed the Hornets in this game, but at any rate, with this loss, they now fall to 32-34. And the reason why this was such a tough loss is because they are now one game behind the Brooklyn Nets in eighth. And honestly, if I had to project forward, I don't think the Nets are going to give up that spot. I think the Nets are going to remain at least in eighth, and the Hornets and Hawks are going to be relegated to the bottom half of the play-in game. And that's not even a fait accompli, because the Hornets are just ahead of the Hawks now by a single percentage point. The Hornets have played two more games, so we'll see if the Hawks can make up that gap, and then the Hornets are just 1.5 games up on the Wizards in 11th, so it's very tightly contested there in the middle of the Eastern Conference, but the Hornets definitely could have used this victory. They are currently 4-6 in their last 10 games. They've got a negative 0.4 point differential. And as for the Nets, they are, of course, in 8th now, one game up on the Hornets, and two games behind the Toronto Raptors in 7th. And the Nets are negative 0.9 in the point differential. They are also 4-6 in their last 10 games. Alright, so moving on to the box score, and the Nets were led, as I mentioned, by Kyrie Irving, his season high, 50 points in 38 minutes. He was just incredible, 15 of 19 from the field, 9 of 12 from 3, and 11 of 13 from the free throw line. And he also had 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. He was plus 14 in the plus minus, that was the team high. So just incredible stuff for Kyrie, showing why he is such a valuable player. He is one of the few guys in the league that can credibly go 50-40-90 without breaking a sweat. So he is just an incredible scorer leading the team in this game. And then they also got a big double-double from Andre Drummond, 20 points and 14 rebounds. In just 24 minutes, the big man, he was 7 of 13 from the field, 6 of 10 from the free throw line, and he also had 2 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks. And then 14 points for Bruce Brown and Kevin Durant. Durant was a bit quiet in this game, just 6 of 13 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 turnovers. And then Bruce Brown was a bit more efficient. He was 6 of 8 from the field. He had 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. And Seth Curry, rounding out the starting lineup, he had 9 points, 3 three-pointers, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal. And off the bench for the Nets, they got 12 points from Patty Mills. He was 4 of 7 from beyond the arc in 20 minutes. 5 points for Goran Dragic, the other backup point guard, in 28 minutes. He was 2 of 6 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 7 assists, 2 steals. And then 4 points for James Johnson, 4 points for Nick Claxton, and that was it in terms of the scoring off the bench for Brooklyn. As for the Hornets, they were led, as I mentioned, by Terry Rozier and Miles Bridges, both of whom had 30 points. Rozier was 10 of 19 from the field. He had 5 threes, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, and a block. Incredible production for Rozier. And Bridges wasn't much worse. He was 11 of 19 from the field. He had 3 threes, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 steal. He did have 5 turnovers, but nonetheless, those two really scoring in bunches. Then they also got 24 from LaMelo Ball in 30 minutes. He was a little bit less efficient, 9 of 22 from the field. He had 2 threes, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, and 2 steals, though. And then 4 points for PJ Washington, but he was ice cold, 1 of 7 from the field, 0 of 5 from 3. He had 8 rebounds, 5 assists. And 2 points for Mason Plumlee, rounding out the starting lineup. He played just 20 minutes, and he had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks in that time. And off the bench for the Hornets, they got 15 points from Kelly Oubre Jr. in 22 minutes. He was 7 of 12 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 2 steals. He is having a really solid season coming off the bench for the Hornets, and in any other year, he would definitely be in contention for Sixth Man of the Year, but this was just a runaway season in that regard for Tyler Hero. So Oubre, he's not going to win that award this year, but he's having a very good season off the bench for Charlotte. And then they also got 8 points from Cody Martin, 6 points from the backup big man Montrezl Harrell, he had 5 rebounds, and 2 points for Jalen McDaniels. Alright, next up we can move on to Indiana, where the Pacers were just defeated by the Cleveland Cavaliers, 127-124. The Cavs were led by Darius Garland. He had a career-high 41 points in 37 minutes. He had 13 assists as well. He was incredible in this game, 9 of 9 from the free throw line. And then they also got a really solid double-double from Evan Mobley, the rookie. He had 22 points and 12 rebounds with 5 steals, and 21 points from Lauri Markkanen. Whereas the Pacers were led by their recent acquisition, Tyrese Halliburton. He had 25 points in 39 minutes, and he was really efficient, 9 of 14 from the field. He had 9 assists, and then they got 12 and 12 from Malcolm Brogdon, and 15 points off the bench from 3 guys, Jalen Smith, Goga Bitadze, and Dwayne Washington Jr. So this was definitely a group effort. All 4 of the guys off the bench scored in double digits, and 4 of the 5 starters scored in double digits. But unfortunately for the Pacers, it was not quite enough, as they were just edged in the end by the Cavaliers. It was a really close game down the stretch. Malcolm Brogdon and Darius Garland were trading buckets down the stretch. So first, Garland hit a 4-foot jump shot with 53 seconds to go. That one tied the game up, 122 all. But then Brogdon responded. He hit a 2 with 40 seconds left. That gave the Pacers a 2-point advantage. And then ultimately, it was the rookie Evan Mobley who hit a clutch tip shot with 33 seconds left on the clock. That one tied the game back up. And then it was free throws from Darius Garland that gave the Cavaliers the 2-point advantage. That one put the Cavs up 126-124 with 14 seconds to go. So a really close one down the stretch, but Garland was clutch in the end, as well as the rookie Evan Mobley, and the Cavaliers were just able to get the victory in the end. And frankly, they shot the ball much worse than the Pacers, but it was the turnovers that really killed Indiana in this game. So the Cavaliers only shot 49% from the field, 28% from three. That is way worse than Indiana. They shot 53% from the field and 50% from three. So how in the world did they lose this game with such incredible shooting? Well, they had 18 turnovers versus just 7 for the Cavaliers. That is a stark disparity. The Cavaliers were very clean with the ball, and the Pacers were very sloppy, and that really killed them in this game. And so with this loss, Indiana now falls to 22-45. So they're down in 13th still in the Eastern Conference, where they've been for months now. They are 3 games up on the Detroit Pistons at this point in 14th. And they're 6 games behind the Knicks in 12th. And the Pacers are negative 2.5 in the point differential, which is about where they should be in the standings. They're on a 3-game losing streak. They're just 3-7 in their last 10 games. And as for the Cavaliers, this win takes them to 38-27. So after being surpassed by the Boston Celtics, they are now in 6th in the East. But they're just half a game now behind the Celtics in 5th. And then they're 3.5 games up on the Toronto Raptors in 7th. So it does not look like any of the top 6 are going to fall out of that top 6 range, which is good news for the Cavaliers. They still have that plus 3.4 point differential, which is actually 4th best in the East at this point. They're just 4-6 in their last 10 games, but they are on a 2-game winning streak now. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Cavaliers, as I mentioned, were led by the rookie Evan Mobley and Darius Garland with his career high, 41 points in 37 minutes. He was 14 of 26 from the field, 4 of 9 from 3, and 9 of 9 from the free throw line. Incredible efficiency for Garland. He had 5 rebounds, 13 assists, and 2 steals as well. He was plus 18 in the plus minus. That was a team high. And then the double-double for Evan Mobley, 22 points and 12 rebounds in 36 minutes. He was 8 of 15 from the field, including that clutch tip-in late in the game. And he also had 3 assists, 5 steals, and 1 block. And then 21 points for Lauri Markkanen in 30 minutes. He was 8 of 14 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. 11 points for Isaac Okoro, the sophomore. In 33 minutes, he was 4 of 7 from the field. He had 2 steals. And 10 points for Dean Wade, rounding out the starting lineup in 37 minutes. He was also 4 of 7 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and a block. And off the bench for Cleveland, they got 9 points from Lamar Stevens and Kevin Love. Love, in 15 minutes, had 1 three-pointer, 4 rebounds. And Stevens was 4 of 7 from the field. He had 2 blocks and 4 rebounds. And then just 4 points for Ed Davis in 10 minutes. Jetty Osman and Rajon Rondo, neither of them scored, and they were combined 0 of 7 from the field. And as for the Pacers, they were led, as I mentioned, by Tyrese Haliburton. He had 25 points in 39 minutes. He was 9 of 14 from the field. He had 4 threes, 4 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals, and a block. Really solid production for Haliburton. And then they also got 14 points from Buddy Hield, the other former King. He was very efficient. In 38 minutes, he was 5 of 6 from the field, 4 of 4 from beyond the arc. And he had 2 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. A double-double for Malcolm Brogdon, 12 points and 12 assists in 37 minutes. He was 6 of 15 from the field, though, so not super efficient. He had 5 rebounds and 5 turnovers. 12 points for the rookie, Isaiah Jackson. He was 6 of 7 from the field. In 22 minutes, he had 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 blocks. 5 points and 4 rebounds for O'Shea Brissett, rounding out the starting lineup. He was 2 of 8 from the field in 23 minutes. And off the bench for the Pacers, they got double-digit scoring from all 4 of the guys to see the court. 15 points for Jalen Smith in 28 minutes. He was 5 of 9 from the field. He had 2 threes, 5 rebounds, 1 block. 15 points as well for Gogo Batadze, the backup big man. He was 6 of 10 from the field in 18 minutes. He kind of stuffed the stat sheet too. 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 2 three-pointers. And then 15 points for Dwayne Washington Jr. as well. He was 6 of 8 from the field, and he also had 2 threes and 1 assist. And then 11 points for Chris Duarte, rounding out the bench, the rookie. He was 4 of 14 from the field in 16 minutes. All right, next up we can move on to Orlando, where the Magic were defeated by the Phoenix Suns, 102-99. The Suns were only 6.5-point favorites, but they did not cover that because they were missing Devin Booker and Chris Paul, of course. But they were led by DeAndre Ayton. He had a big double-double, 21 points and 19 rebounds. And then they also got a double-double from Cameron Payne in the starting lineup, the point guard. He had 18 points and 12 assists. And then they got 21 points as well from Landry Shamet. Whereas the Magic were led by Wendell Carter, he had 20 points and 12 rebounds. And they got 9 points and 15 rebounds from Mo Bamba and 12 points from Mo Wagner off the bench. But this game was a struggle, to say the least, for the Magic. It was actually close in the end, but the Suns were leading throughout the majority of this game. I guess you could say it was a game of runs because the Suns would get out to a lead and then immediately squander that lead thereafter. So it happened several times throughout the game. Early on, the first example was the first couple of minutes of the game. The Suns quickly got out to a 12-point lead. It was 14-2, just like 3 minutes into the first quarter, but then they immediately squandered that lead. They did not score throughout the middle of the first quarter and allowed the Magic to quickly tie the game back up. But then they opened up another lead by the end of the first quarter. Ultimately, it was 28-22 at the end of the first. But then once again in the second, the Magic would come back and tie the game back up, and then it happened again at the end of the second, and they actually maintained this lead throughout most of the third quarter. They were leading by about 10 points throughout that time, but then eventually the Magic would once again chip away at that lead. It was just a 3-point game at the beginning of the fourth quarter, and then ultimately, down the stretch, it was really close, but DeAndre Ayton was clutch. First, with about a minute and a half to go, the Suns were actually trailing, but he got a tip shot that gave them a 1-point lead. It was 98-97 at that point. And then he got another 2-pointer a little bit later. There was some stagnant offense from both teams for quite a while, but with 12 seconds to go, he hit another 2. That one put the Suns up by 3, 100-97. And then there were free throws from Cole Anthony and Cameron Payne. So ultimately, it was those 2 2-pointers from DeAndre Ayton that was the difference maker. and the Suns were able to hold on and get this victory in Orlando despite not having either of their primary two scorers and ball handlers in Booker and Paul. And as you might deduce from the scoreline, neither team shot the ball very efficiently. They were both 38% from the field, but the Magic were terrible from beyond the arc. They were 17% from three, whereas the Suns at least shot 36% from three. And they also were pretty tidy with the ball, only 10 turnovers. So overall, a good, resilient win here for the Suns, the shorthanded Suns, in Orlando. And they now improve to 52-13 with this victory. That is still good for the best record in the entire NBA. They are 8 games up on the Memphis Grizzlies in second in the Western Conference. And the Suns are plus 7.6 in the point differential. That's also best in the entire NBA. And they're 7-3 in their last 10 games. And as for the Magic, they, on the other hand, have the worst record in the entire NBA. They are now 16-50 with this loss. They are 3.5 games behind the Detroit Pistons in 14th in the Eastern Conference, and they are negative 8.0 in the point differential, which is third worst in the league. They're 3-7 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Suns were led, as I mentioned, by Landry Shamet and DeAndre Ayton, both of whom had 21 points. Ayton had the big double-double, 19 rebounds, and he was 10 of 19 from the field overall. He had one assist, and he did have three turnovers, but he was plus 14 in the plus-minus, which was the team high. And then 21 for Landry Shamet. He was 6 of 12 from the field. All of his makes, though, came from beyond the arc, and he had three rebounds and two assists. And then 18 points and 12 assists for Cameron Payne, the point guard, starting in place of Chris Paul. He was 6 of 16 from the field, 3 of 5 from beyond the arc. He had 6 rebounds, 2 steals, and just 1 turnover. And then 13 points for Mikal Bridges in 38 minutes. He was not very efficient in this game, 3 of 11 from the field. He had 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals, and a block, though. And then 7 points for Jay Crowder, rounding out the starting lineup. He was also ice cold in this game, 3 of 15 from the field, just 1 of 10 from 3. He had 11 rebounds, 3 assists, though. And then off the bench for the Suns, they got 11 points from Aaron Holiday in 16 minutes. He was 2 of 5 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 4 assists. 6 points from Torrey Craig in 20 minutes. He had 4 rebounds, 2 steals, and 2 blocks. And then 5 points for the backup big man JaVale McGee, and that was it in terms of the scoring. As for the Magic, they were led by Wendell Carter. He had a double-double, 20 points and 12 rebounds in 32 minutes. And he was 8 of 14 from the field. He had 1 3-pointer, 1 block. And then they got 11 points from Cole Anthony. He was the second leading scorer in the starting lineup. He was only 4 of 14 from the field, though. He had 3 rebounds, 5 assists. 9 points for Mo Bamba, the other big man in the lineup, alongside Wendell Carter. He only played 22 minutes, and he was 4 of 11 from the field. He had 15 rebounds, though. And then 6 points for the other two starters. Franz Wagner, the rookie, he was 3 of 8 from the field, 0 of 4 from 3. He had 1 rebound, 2 assists. And then 6 points as well for RJ Hampton. There was no Jalen Suggs in this game, so Hampton got the start. And in 24 minutes, he was 2 of 5 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 steals. And off the bench for the Magic, they got 12 points from Mo Wagner in 16 minutes. He was 3 of 9 from the field. He had 7 rebounds, 1 block. 11 points for Markelle Fultz, still making his way back from that long injury absence. I think this is just his third game now. He was 5 of 10 from the field in 17 minutes, and he had 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 steal. So still pretty productive on a per-minute basis, Fultz, coming off the bench. And I'll be interested to see if he eventually gets inserted into the starting lineup, especially with Suggs temporarily out. And then they got 9 points from Terrence Ross, although he was just 2 of 10 from the field, and 9 points as well from Gary Harris, and 6 points from the backup power forward, Chuma Okeke. All right, next we can move on to Memphis, where the Grizzlies handily defeated the New Orleans Pelicans, 132-111. The Grizz were led by who else but Ja Morant. He had 24 points and 8 rebounds with 8 assists. He led the team in all 3 categories. And then they also got 22 points from Desmond Bane and 22 as well from Jaren Jackson. Whereas the Pelicans were led by CJ McCollum, their new addition. He has just been incredible scoring the ball since he arrived in New Orleans. He had 32 points and 11 assists as well. And then they also got 17 points from Willy Hernan Gomez off the bench and 16 points from Najee Marshall also off the bench. The other starters besides McCollum were a bit disappointing, but the bench really picked up the slack, but unfortunately, it was not nearly enough. There was no Brandon Ingram in this game for New Orleans, and they struggled as a result. They were down pretty significantly early on. They were outscored by the Grizzlies 44-34 in the first quarter, and then they just expanded upon that lead significantly in the second and third. They outscored the Pelicans 33-24 in the second, and then 35-25 in the third. So it was basically a complete blowout by the fourth quarter. It was 112-84, a 28-point advantage for the Grizzlies. So basically garbage time in the fourth, and the Grizzlies cruised to an easy victory. And they didn't even shoot the ball that much better than the Pelicans. They were 47% from the field, 36% from three, whereas New Orleans was 46% from the field, 32% from three. But the Pelicans did have 15 turnovers, whereas the Grizz had 12, and they also out-rebounded the Pelicans 52-45. So just a dominant win here for the Grizzlies, and they now improved to 45-22. So that is good for second in the Western Conference. They're half a game up on the Warriors in third, and then they're 8 games behind the Phoenix Suns in first. So it does not look like anybody's going to be catching the Suns anytime soon for that first seed. But the Grizzlies could definitely hold on to this second seed, which would be valuable potentially, because that would mean they wouldn't have to go against one of the other top six teams. And there's a pretty decent gap in quality, in my opinion, from the top six teams in the West to the teams in the play-in game range. And the Grizzlies are plus 4.9 in the point differential. That's only fourth best in the West, but they're 6-4 in their last 10 games. And as for the Pelicans, this loss takes them to 27-38. So they're still in 10th in the West. They're just 1.5 games behind the Lakers in 9th, though. And then they're 1.5 games up on the Trailblazers in 11th. And the Pelicans are negative 1.7 in the point differential, which is about where they should be in the standings. It's worse than the Spurs below them, but better than the Lakers ahead of them. They're on a 2-game losing streak, though. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. Alright, so moving on to the box score, and the Pelicans were led, as I mentioned, by CJ McCollum. He had 32 points in 31 minutes. He was 13 of 21 from the field, 5 of 10 from 3, and he had 11 assists and 6 rebounds as well. And then just 10 points for Herb Jones and Jonas Valanciunas. Like I said, the rest of the starters didn't do a whole lot. Jones, the rookie, he was 4 of 5 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 2 assists. And then Valanciunas was 4 of 10 from the field in 21 minutes. He had 2 rebounds, 1 assist. He was negative 37 in the plus-minus. That was the team low. And then just 3 points for Tony Snell in 22 minutes. He was 1 of 6 from the field. And 2 points for Jackson Hayes in 14 minutes. He was 1 of 2 from the field. But off the bench for the Pelicans, they got 17 points from Willy Hernan Gomez. He was on fire in this game, 7 of 10 from the field in 28 minutes. He had 9 rebounds and 1 steal. He was plus 16 in the plus-minus, actually, which was by far the team high. And then they got 16 points from Najee Marshall in 27 minutes. He was 4 of 13 from the field, but 7 of 10 from the free throw line, and he had 2 rebounds. And then 12 points for Devontae Graham, the backup point guard. He was 4 of 7 from 3. All he took were 3-pointers in 24 minutes, and he had 3 rebounds and 5 assists. And then they also got 5 points from the rookie Jose Alvarado in 20 minutes. He had 4 steals. And 4 points for Alize Johnson. He had 7 rebounds, although he was just 1 of 5 from the field. And then Gary Clark did not score at all. He was 0 of 4 from the field. All right, moving along to Oklahoma City, where the Thunder were handily defeated by the Milwaukee Bucks, 142-115. The Bucks were led by Giannis Antetokounmpo. He had 39 points, and they also got 25 from Chris Middleton, and a big double-double, 18 points and 14 rebounds for Bobby Portis. Whereas the Thunder were led by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he had a huge game despite this dispiriting loss. He had 33 points, 8 rebounds, 14 assists, leading the team in all three categories. He has been playing very well recently despite the Thunder's struggles, and it doesn't sound like things are getting much better in OKC, because recently they announced that Lu Dort, Ty Jerome, and Mike Muscala all had season-ending surgeries recently, so that is not a good look for the Thunder's depth, and they are probably going to continue to struggle throughout the rest of the season. The next leading scorer after Shai was Lindy Waters off the bench with 16 points. But this game was just slowly but surely more and more of a blowout. It was actually fairly close throughout most of the first half. It was just a 5-point game after the first quarter. It was 39-34 in favor of the Bucks, and then they kept up the pressure in the second quarter, outscoring the Thunder 37-31. So the Thunder were doing their best to stay in this game. It was just an 11-point advantage for the Bucks at the half, 76-65. And then the Thunder sort of stayed in contention in the third quarter as well. They never made any headway, but they didn't fall further behind until the fourth quarter. That's when things really fell apart. They were outscored 37-22 in that final period, so that's where they really lost this game. and they just could not keep up with the Bucks' relentless shooting. They were 53% from the field, 50% from beyond the arc. That is incredible offense from Milwaukee. Whereas the Thunder, they weren't bad at all. They were 50% from the field, 41% from three. They did have 16 turnovers. That's way too many. And then they were also dominated on the boards, 53-36. So the Bucks completely dominant, but the Thunder can at least take solace in the fact that they shot the ball pretty efficiently. But nonetheless, a loss is a loss, and they now fall to 20-45, so that is good for 14th place in the Western Conference. They are four games up on the Houston Rockets in last, and then they are three games behind the Sacramento Kings in 13th. And the Thunder are negative 7.5 in the point differential, which is clearly second worst in the West. They're on a three-game losing streak, and they're 3-7 in their last 10 games. And as for the Bucks, this emphatic victory takes them to 41-25, so that is good for third in the Eastern Conference, but they're just behind the Philadelphia 76ers by a couple of percentage points. They've played two more games than the 76ers, and then they're 1.5 games up on the Chicago Bulls in fourth. And the Bucks are plus 4.1 in the point differential, which is, I think it's third best in the Eastern Conference. And despite only being 6-4 in their last 10 games, they're on a five-game winning streak. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Bucks were led, as I mentioned, by Giannis. The two-time MVP had 39 points in just 28 minutes. He was unsurprisingly very efficient, 13 of 19 from the field, 4 of 4 from beyond the arc, and 9 of 13 from the free throw line. Incredible offense. He had 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, and a block as well. Then they also got 25 points from Chris Middleton. In 30 minutes, he was 9 of 17 from the field. He had 4 threes also, 2 rebounds, 9 assists. And then 18 points and 14 rebounds for Bobby Portis. He was very efficient also, 7 of 11 from the field. He had 2 threes, 2 assists, and 2 steals. 13 points for Drew Holiday. He was 6 of 12 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals. And 11 points for Jordan Wara, rounding out the starting lineup. In 38 minutes, he was 5 of 13 from the field, and he had 7 rebounds, 3 assists. And off the bench for Milwaukee, they got 14 points from Serge Ibaka, their new addition. In 18 minutes, he was 6 of 9 from the field, and he had 2 threes, 7 rebounds, and 2 blocks. And then 12 points for Javon Carter, the backup point guard. He was 4 of 9 from the field. All of his makes came from 3. In 25 minutes, he had 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals. Nice production from Carter there, and he was plus 23 in the plus minus. And then 8 points for Sandro Mamukelashvili, the rookie, in 9 minutes. He was 2 of 2 from beyond the arc. And 2 points for Thanasis Antetokounmpo. All right, and finally, we can move on to San Francisco, where the Warriors defeated the LA Clippers 112-97. The Warriors were led by the rookie Jonathan Kuminga off the bench. He had 21 points. And then they also got 20 points from Jordan Poole, also off the bench, and 20 points from Klay Thompson in the starting lineup. Steph Curry just had 15 points on 5 of 12 shooting. Whereas the Clippers were led by Nick Batum, he had 17 points in the starting lineup, and then they only got 11 points from Marcus Morris. He was the only other player in the starting lineup to score in double digits. There was a couple of guys off the bench to score in double digits, but this game was a struggle, to say the least, for a couple of the Clippers, including Ivica Zubac, who was 0 of 6 from the field, Reggie Jackson was 2 of 14 from the field, and Terrence Mann was 2 of 9. And the scoreline doesn't really indicate how much of a blowout this was. The Warriors were basically in control from the second quarter onwards. They outscored the Clippers 33-15 in the second, so they had a double-digit lead at halftime. And then they maintained that, or actually they expanded upon that lead. In the third quarter, they outscored the Clippers 32-25. And so at one point at the beginning of the fourth quarter, it was nearly a 30-point lead. After a 15-foot step-back jump shot from Andrew Wiggins with about 10 minutes to go, it was 90-61. So this was a total blowout, basically, for the Warriors. But they did allow the Clippers to cut that deficit a little bit in the fourth quarter. They were outscored 36-26. But nonetheless, this was an easy win for Golden State. And overall, they shot 47% from the field, 38% from three. They did have 16 turnovers. That was one of the factors that allowed the Clippers to cut that deficit in the end. But they just did not shoot the ball well enough. They were 35% from the field overall and 30% from three, thanks in large part to those starters that I mentioned, especially Reggie Jackson. He was just ice cold in this game. And so with this loss, the Clippers now fall to 34-33. So they are still in eighth in the Western Conference. They're kind of on an island by themselves there in eighth because they are 3.5 games behind the Minnesota Timberwolves in 7th, and then they're 3.5 games up on the Lakers in 9th. And the Clippers are negative 0.8 in the point differential, which is about where they should be in the standings. They're on a 2-game losing streak, but they're 7-3 in their last 10 games. And as for the Warriors, this win takes them to 44-22, so that is good for 3rd still in the Western Conference. They're just half a game behind the Memphis Grizzlies in 2nd, and then they are 3 games up on the Utah Jazz in 4th. And the Warriors are plus 6.3 in the point differential, that is 2nd best in the Western Conference and in the entire NBA, and they are 3-7 only, though, in their last 10 games. Alright, so we can move on now to the box score, and the Clippers were led, as I mentioned, by Nick Batum. Like I said, he had 17 points in the starting lineup in 27 minutes. He was 6 of 11 from the field. He had 3 three-pointers, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals. Although he was negative 22 in the plus-minus, that was the team low, along with Terrence Mann. And the rest of the starters did not do a whole lot. 11 points for Marcus Morris in 23 minutes. He was 4 of 11 from the field, 0 of 3 from beyond the arc. He had 4 rebounds. 7 points for Terrence Mann. He was 2 of 9 from the field. 7 rebounds and 2 assists, though. 5 points for Reggie Jackson. Like I said, he was brutal. 2 of 14 from the field. 1 of 5 from 3. He had 4 rebounds, 7 assists. And Ivica Zubac rounding out the starting lineup. He was also brutal. 0 of 6 from the field. He had 4 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 4 turnovers. And off the bench for the Clippers, they got, like I said, double-digit scoring from 4 players. 11 points from Luke Kennard in 17 minutes. He had 3 threes, 3 rebounds. 10 points for Isaiah Hartenstein. He was 4 of 5 from the field, and he had 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and a block. 10 points for Rodney Hood in 11 minutes. He was 4 of 6 from the field. 10 points for Brandon Boston Jr., the rookie, in 18 minutes. He had 2 three-pointers, 2 assists, 2 steals. And then 9 points for Amir Coffey in 30 minutes. He was 3 of 11 from the field. And 3 points for Semi Ojeleye. And as for the Warriors, they were led, as I mentioned, by the rookie Jonathan Kuminga off the bench. He had 21 points in 26 minutes, and he was pretty efficient. 7 of 12 from the field, 2 of 3 from beyond the arc. He had 6 rebounds, 6 assists. He was plus 10 in the plus-minus. And then they got 20 points from Klay Thompson in the starting lineup. He wasn't incredibly efficient, 9 of 23 from the field. He had 2 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 blocks, though. And then they got 15 points from Steph Curry. He was 5 of 12 from the field. He had 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. 14 points from Andrew Wiggins. He was 6 of 14 from the field. He had 11 rebounds, 3 assists, and 3 blocks. 10 points for the other rookie, Moses Moody. He was 4 of 6 from the field. He had 8 rebounds, 3 assists. And 7 points for Kevon Looney rounding out the starting lineup. In 21 minutes, he had 6 rebounds, 6 assists. And off the bench for the Warriors, besides Jonathan Kuminga, they also got 20 points from Jordan Poole. He was on fire once again. He's been scoring very efficiently lately. In 30 minutes in this game, he was 8 of 13 from the field, 4 of 6 from 3, and he had 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. And then they also got 5 points from Nemanja Bjelica in 19 minutes. He had 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, and that was it in terms of the scoring off the bench for the Warriors. Alright, so that will do it for our box score breakdown. We can now move on to fantasy, the standout and surprising fantasy lines of the night. And we had a couple of really good options. Despite just having 6 games on in the NBA last night, there was some incredible scoring and some incredible fantasy numbers. So you had Darius Garland dropping a career high 41 points in 37 minutes. And he was very efficient, 14 of 26 from the field. He had 13 assists. And then you also had 39 points from Giannis Antetokounmpo. He had 7 rebounds and 7 assists, 22 and 12 with 5 steals from Evan Mobley. Ja Morant had 24, 8 and 8, 30 points for Terry Rozier, 32 and 11 from CJ McCollum. And then the closest contender was probably Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He had 33 points, 14 assists, 8 rebounds, 3 steals and a block. It was impossible not to go with Shai. He was 11 of 18 from the field as well. So he really just had the perfect line, if not for Kyrie Irving dropping an incredible season high 50 points in 38 minutes. And it was really the efficiency that won Kyrie this award, because he didn't have nearly the box score stats as Shai. He had 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, but he was 15 of 19 from the field, 11 of 13 from the free throw line, and 9 of 12 from 3. That is just insane shooting from Kyrie Irving. Those types of efficiency numbers can really win you a category single-handedly, especially those 9 three-pointers. And so Kyrie is your standout line of the night. He only had 3 turnovers as well. And as for surprising line of the night, we're going to go with Cameron Payne in the starting lineup for the Phoenix Suns. And it's frankly not that surprising, considering that he has done this type of thing on a limited basis throughout his career when given the opportunity. But it's just good to see that he is thriving as he has been inserted into the starting lineup, because he has been injured recently. This is just his fourth game back. He only played 20 minutes in that first game after returning, but then in the three games since then, he's played at least 30 minutes in all three of those games. He scored at least 17 points in all three of those games, and he's averaging well over 10 assists as well. So really incredible numbers for Payne recently. So frankly, like I said, it's not that surprising what he did in this game, but 18 points, 6 rebounds, 12 assists, 2 steals, and just 1 turnover is really good stuff for the backup point guard inserted into the starting lineup. So Cameron Payne is your surprising line of the night, and Kyrie Irving is your standout line of the night. All right, and with that, we can move on now to our preview for tonight, Wednesday, March the 9th, and we've got a ton of games in the NBA today, 12 games. So starting off in Charlotte, the Hornets are taking on the Boston Celtics, and the Celtics are -7.5. In Detroit, the Pistons are taking on the Chicago Bulls, and the Bulls are -5.5. In Milwaukee, the Bucks face the Atlanta Hawks, and the Bucks are -5. In Miami, the Heat are taking on the Phoenix Suns, and the Heat are big favorites. They are -8. In Minnesota, the Timberwolves take on the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they're even bigger favorites. They are -15. In Houston, the Rockets take on the LA Lakers, and the Lakers are -4. In New Orleans, the Pelicans face the Orlando Magic, and the Pelicans are -8. In San Antonio, the Spurs are taking on the Toronto Raptors, Pop going for his record-breaking win, and the Raptors are -1.5. In Dallas, the Mavs are facing the New York Knicks, and the Mavericks are -8. In Sacramento, the Kings take on the Denver Nuggets, and the Nuggets are -4. In Utah, the Jazz take on the Portland Trailblazers, and they are enormous 17-point favorites, the Jazz. That is incredible. And then finally, in Los Angeles, the Clippers are taking on the Washington Wizards, and the Clippers are -4.5. All right, so some intriguing lines amongst these 12 games. I am shocked by that line, the Jazz -17-point favorites. That is just such a huge line. Frankly, I think it's pretty much deserved, because the Portland Trailblazers have basically been putting out a G League team recently. So I don't have any faith in them, but I'm just shocked to see that 17-point line still. I was also shocked to see the Timberwolves 15-point favorites over the Thunder. Shea has been playing very well recently, but with that being said, like I was talking about earlier in the show, the Thunder have been pretty abysmal lately, so I don't have any faith in them either. But that being said, that's just a lot of faith in the Timberwolves, who, to be fair, have been playing very well, but that's just a big line, 15 points. I was also a little bit surprised to see the Heat 8-point favorites over the Suns, but to be fair, the Heat are the best team in the Eastern Conference. They are on a 3-game winning streak. It's the second night of a back-to-back for the Suns, and of course they're still missing Devin Booker and Chris Paul, so I guess that makes sense. Ultimately, I think we've got two best bets for today. So first, we're going to take the Boston Celtics -7.5 in Charlotte. This is the second night of a back-to-back for the Hornets. They are both in Charlotte, but still, they might be a little bit weary. The Celtics should be rested. They're on a 3-game winning streak, and their +5.5 point differential is best in the conference, whereas the Hornets are just -0.4, and they're just 4-6 in their last 10 games. So I have all the faith in the world right now that the Celtics can comfortably win this game. I don't think that line is quite high enough, so I'm going to take the Celtics -7.5. And then we're also going to go with the Spurs, +1.5 at home versus the Raptors. Now, the Raptors should have Fred VanVleet back. He missed the last couple due to right knee soreness, but he practiced fully on Tuesday, and he's expected to join the team against the Spurs. But still, since losing OG Anunoby to injury, they've just looked a little bit more shaky than they had earlier in the season. And I really just think that there's going to be a lot of momentum amongst the players and the fans there in San Antonio for this record to be broken for Pop. I think everybody's going to rally and try their hardest. And I think they can at least win this game by a little bit. They are +1.5, so they don't even have to actually win the game. They could lose by 1 point, but I think they will win it. They'll do it for Popovich. He'll break the record in San Antonio. The crowd will be loving it. And so I'm going to take the Spurs +1.5 at home versus the Raptors. And then I'm also going to take the Celtics -7.5 in Charlotte. Those are our two best bets for today, and that will do it. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to recap all of those games and to preview the action for Thursday, March the 10th. Until then, thanks for tuning in.